Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning, and happy to be here, and want to welcome visitors. We're happy to have you with us this morning as well. And I noticed that the church seems full this morning, but I noticed that it seemed extra quiet. And you know, when it seems extra quiet, you feel like that people might be tired and harder to stay awake. But I was just thinking that before I got up about how quiet it was, and I remembered I read about I think it was Randy Alcorn that wrote this about how he was in South America or Central America at some kind of a speaking place that he was supposed to speak, and he said it was so noisy that they had all the music playing and the bands playing. It was so noisy that he didn't believe the Holy Spirit could work, and he just started praying that the Holy Spirit could be there, and he felt God answered prayer because something happened that the music stopped, and it became very, very silent. And it was while another speaker was speaking, and it was very dramatic in his life. He felt like when the Holy Spirit came upon that group, that it got silent, got quiet. So anyhow, I just thought of that. Hopefully that means that the Holy Spirit is with us this morning and you're not tired. So this morning I have chosen to preach on kindness. That's a very simple word, and it's a subject that we all hear about, take for granted, don't really maybe think of it as that we should even speak about it that much. And last Sunday when I was thinking about what I should share, I had been thinking that I'm going to speak on humility next time I speak. But Marcus was up here preaching, and I all of a sudden seen that I'm not going to speak on humility because that's what he's speaking on. But as I kept thinking about it this week, I had spoke on kindness in Newport several months ago, and I looked at this again, and I realized that the subject of kindness is closely tied in with humility. You can't really be kind. True kindness is most often shown from a very humble person. And someone said, a kind word is never lost. It keeps on going on and on from one person to another until at last it comes back to you again. I wouldn't say that's the gospel, but I think there's truth in that statement. And I read yesterday, as I was studying to, I wanted to redo this message quite a bit, and as I was studying, I read that the early saints, this was encouraging to me to read this, that the early saints earned the reputation of being so very kind to their contemporaries or their people that they were around in their communities. And this was during the, during the mid-4th century A.D., the Roman ruler Julian, he wrote, and he also despised Christianity, but he still, unwittingly, he paid a glowing compliment to these primitive saints when he wrote this. He said, as children are coaxed with cake, so have these Christians enticed the poor to join them by kindness. Strangers they have secured by hospitality, by affecting brotherly love, great moral purity, in honoring their dead, they have won the multitude. And that was interesting to me, that the early Christians won that a person that hated them said this about them. And a question that came to my mind is, how important is kindness? If you were going to say to someone how important it is, that might be hard to say, but there was a study done in 2003, and they went out into other countries and cultures, quite a few different cultures, 37, it said, around the whole world, And they spoke to 16,000 different people, both male and female, and asked them what they wanted to see in their spouse when they got married, or when they asked both sides. And the first preference that came up, over a high percentage, they wanted people to treat them kindly, and they wanted their spouse to treat. That's what they look for in a spouse, someone that would treat them kindly. So people want to be treated kindly. But do you ever notice that even though we as people want to be treated kindly, we have a harder time being kind ourselves to other people? There was another study done on a large-scale study of school bullies, people in school who were just mean bullies, and they asked them why. They tried to figure out why they are bullies and why they do this, and the conclusion they came from that study was that most people that are bullies enjoy doing it. And they went on to say that it illustrates how cruel human nature is. We don't learn kindness naturally. Kindness has to be learned. And we try to teach it to our children from a young age. Yeah, but in our world, it's not being taught very much. In fact, if you think about what the media is teaching our children, and what they're exposed to, all the violence and the terrible influences that comes across on the movies and the gaming and entertainment that people use, even as small children, I believe it across the board, regardless what age you are, I think it desensitizes and calluses our feelings toward people that are being hurt, and we lose how important it is to be kind to people. Also had to think about, in the world of sports, they have a hard time practicing kindness in sports, because in sports, a lot of times it becomes the survival of the fittest takes priority over being kind. And I guess if I have anything against sports, that's what I have against sports, because there's not much kindness shown in the sports world. But don't get upset at me that I feel that way. I'm not saying that playing softball, basketball, soccer are wrong. I'm saying that being kind to each other while playing these sports is very rare. But on the positive side, there are incidents in the world where other teams sacrifice their chances to win because they maybe see another team is having an unfortunate time, and that team went out of their way to help them temporarily. So there are incidents, but they're not very much. They're not nearly as strong as, it's very rare. I did read a story about how over in, I forget which country it was, they had some kind of a canoe race, and the one team was doing very poorly, and the other team, I don't remember exactly how they did it. I can't remember the details, but they went and made so the other team would have a better chance at winning. So you do see it, but I believe it's rare. And it's rare in the world. And if it is not taught to our children, they will not learn how to be kind. And if we as parents and adults do not practice kindness consistently ourselves now, we cannot expect our children to learn how to be kind correctly. So, you know, it still comes back to us as adults that we have to be an example. We have to teach our children, but we need to be an example of kindness ourselves. And that is why kindness has to be taught. People don't naturally know how to be kind to other people, but we all have a natural desire to be treated kind. Each of us wants to be treated kind. In the Greek, the meaning of the word kindness comes from the root that means usefulness. So in our language, I would say it really means loving someone. Kindness means loving someone effectively with action. And the Bible is full of stories and teachings that tell us to be kind and how to be kind. But the verse that stands out to me, even from little, when I grew up as a little boy, I was taught this verse, the very probably quick Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake has forgiven you. What does that verse mean to you? What does it mean to me? I believe it's a very simple verse. We should be nice to each other. We should care for each other, have compassion for each other, and forgive each other when someone offends us. And to be kind to other people, we have to put others first. We have to put ourselves last. We can't be kind. It's not really possible to be kind when we are putting ourselves first. You cannot have genuine kindness in your heart if you treat someone nice in order to receive something from that person for self-benefit. You know, if you're just treating someone nice because you want to gain something from them, that's not really kindness. That's selfishness. So true kindness comes from a genuine heart, someone who cares about the welfare of you or people around them. And that kind of kindness can only come from a selfless person or a real Christian. Christians are the ones that should be the prime example of kindness, and they're the ones that should know how to be kind the most. But I think in our churches, we are weak in showing kindness, and especially in the world where it's very weak, I said before. But it's not strange to me that the world's missing out in kindness, because that isn't the world. The world is full of people who want to be fit, who can survive in this world. Survival of the fittest. In the church is where kindness should be practiced as a normal occurrence. But instead, I'm afraid that we might err in thinking that if we treat someone nice, if they deserve it, we wait till they deserve it. One ditch that I personally have fallen into is, and I struggle with this sometimes, is focusing on the point of being honest with someone. I need to be honest with people around me. But kindness does not need to be compromised when you're being honest with people. And I think that's a trick of the devil to make us think that. I think that I believe that we need to be honest with people, but honesty and kindness do not have to be in conflict of any situation. And I find that if I cannot be kind when I'm being honest, then my honesty is usually being used as a means to get my way or to get back at someone. And in the church, kindness is like oil on the machine. If we consider everybody in this church one big machine that's doing something good for the kingdom of God, being kind to each other is like oil on that machine that makes that machine do better for the kingdom of God. It keeps the people of the church happy and encouraged, especially when we practice kindness to each other. The greatest reason for us to be kind is because of the kindness God has given us through Jesus. And I want to say that verse again. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, or you. And I'd also like to read from Matthew. You may turn with me to there, if you'd like, Matthew 18. I'm going to read several verses from that passage. And the thing that this passage really stands out to me, it's sort of a contrast to what can happen in, as Jesus said, talks about this parable. We get set up. This is about a servant who got treated good by his king, and then he went and treated his servant very badly afterwards. And I'm afraid that too many Christians don't realize how much Christ has done for us. And we fail to show kindness the proper way because we have not humbled ourselves enough to be able to see how much kindness Jesus really has given us. In this passage, we see how kind Jesus is to us. and toward us, he has forgiven us a very great debt. Matthew 18, I'm going to start reading at verse 21, and I'm going to read through verse 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant, of that servant, was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And this scripture is Jesus showing us ultimate kindness. Therefore, in return, we should show kindness to people too. And we sometimes forget how kind Jesus has been to me, and I don't show that kindness to other people properly. My kindness to other people is reserved for whether they deserve it or whether, whatever the circumstance is. And I fail to be kind. And any time that we are unkind to people, we are essentially are doing the same thing that this servant was doing to his fellow servant. You know, Jesus is always kind to us regardless what we do. So we are to use that same treatment back to our fellow people. None of us has been treated as bad as we have treated Jesus by our fellow men. And, you know, the golden rule, we talk about the golden rule is to be kind to other people. And in this book, Lee Strobel wrote a book, it's titled God's Outrageous Claims. Maybe some of you read that book. It's an interesting book. One of the outrageous claims is that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And I remember my mother quoting that scripture to me a lot when I was growing up. It's easy for us Christians to think that the golden rule applies only when we feel like it. And this is what Lee was saying in his book. But then he goes on to say, Jesus didn't say that we should abide by this rule only when we feel like it, through random acts of kindness expressed on a whim. And I'm going to stop there a little bit because I think he's building up on this back in the 90s. This organization got started of random acts of kindness. And that's all good. I'm not worried. I'm not saying that they're so bad. But he's saying that organization is not that good of an organization for Christians to be following. It doesn't save anybody. It is nice and refreshing in the world to see random acts of kindness, but we should not do it just on a little whim just to make ourselves feel good. But this is what he says. He said, this should become a day in, day out lifestyle of compassion and caring. For the Christian, we do it all the time, consistently. We care and have compassion for people, not just to make ourselves feel good. We do it because Jesus did it for us. And I agree with him. I think this golden rule applies all the time, not just when we feel like it. The rule is not automatically golden in itself. I believe the rule becomes golden as we consistently practice the rule in our daily lives. That's what makes the rule golden. That's why we call it golden. And we have to be kind in order to actually make kindness work. Kindness doesn't work if we're not kind. So the most important thing for us to remember is the more or less kind we are is directly related to how much we love Jesus. And I think that is the sort of the point that Jesus is making in this parable that he said in Matthew that we read. So we have to remember that kindness needs to be practiced consistently, whether we feel like it or not, and also that it tells us how much we actually love Jesus by the amount of kindness we're willing to share with other people. And now I want to look a little more at the practical part of kindness, or look at things that we might actually do that make kindness become more real in other people's lives, not just our own life. And I think that we have two different tools that we use to give kindness to other people. And the two different tools that I'm thinking of this morning, the one being our actions and the other being communication that we have with people. We communicate with words, or either spoken or written, and we communicate with our eyes and also with our body language. But, you know, smiles, just a plain, nice smile shows so much kindness. And that is one great way to show kindness, is a smile. People love to have a smile. But also, our body language also shows kindness by not giving a smile. We show unkindness. So if you look back at your life, or I look at my life, and let's just evaluate a little bit the kindness that we've shown to other people. And just think about what method have we been using or not using. What method has been most successful in your experience to show kindness to other people? And the question that I really have is, were they actions or were they words? You know, when people said something to you or they did a kind deed for you, what did you hang on to the most? A word they said to you or something they did for you, something they did kind to you, how they treated you? I don't have answers for this. I'm just wanting us to think about that a little bit. I think that actions are the most effective, and maybe you feel that your words are, but what is most important is that we are kind whether we're using words or actions. And sometimes it takes both our words and actions to actually be kind, depending on the situation that we may be facing. So it's really not fair to say that one is more effective than the other, but the real thing is usually made to work with action. You can say all the kind words you need to, but for someone to actually believe those kind words, there has to be action behind it. That's why I'm saying that action is a little better. Maybe it's a lot better, but and I'm going to read this little story that I got from our Daily Bread, and you guys probably might get tired of it. I get a lot of interesting little tidbits from Daily Bread that I find. And this is about how our actions can prove. We're judged by our actions a lot. And this is when William McKinley was president of the United States, he had to make a decision about the appointment of an ambassador to a foreign country. Two candidates were equally qualified. So McKinley was still a congressman. He had observed, I should say while he was still a congressman, he had observed an inconsiderate action by one of the men that would have been qualified. He recalled boarding a streetcar at the rush hour and getting the last vacant seat. Soon an elderly woman got on carrying a heavy clothes basket. No one got up to offer her a seat. So she walked the length of the car and stood in the aisle, hardly able to keep her balance as the vehicle swayed from side to side. One of the men McKinley was later to consider for ambassador was sitting next to where the woman was standing. Instead of getting up and helping her, he deliberately shifted his newspaper so it would look like he hadn't seen her. When McKinley noticed this, he walked down the aisle, graciously took her basket, and offered her his seat. The man was unaware that anyone was watching. But that one little act of selfishness would later deprive him of perhaps the crowning honor of his lifetime. McKinley decided not to, even if he was qualified, he didn't want that character to be in there for an ambassador, one willing to do that. And I believe that's really real in all of our lives, whether we know it or not. We think we're getting by, and no one's seeing, but there's someone that always watches and sees what we do and sees how unkind or kind we are. That doesn't mean we should be kind just so people see, but I'm just bringing the point out. So I believe that our actions are the greatest tools we have as Christians to change other people's lives and lead to change in our community that we live in. In this book I was reading from Lee Strobel, he was an atheist, and he did not believe in God. But like all atheists, in my opinion, he still had that little thing that he was seeking. He was watching. He was looking for some reason that he should believe in. And there was three Christians that had a real impact in his life. And you can read the book to find out how he says that too. But it convinced him that God was real because of their actions of kindness. More than anything that they said to him, it was when it came right down to the bottom line, when he was at a particular point in his life of circumstance, that these Christians, they were Christian people that cared for him, they come and did a kind act. And that convinced him. He could not put up with that. He couldn't go on with his life believing that there was no God. Alexander McLaren wrote this: kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, melt it, do not hammer it. So it was the kind deeds that backed up their belief in God that had them take care of that. I have another little story and I don't know where this story came from. It's been a little while since I wrote this one down. But during the Great Depression, there was a man who sold produce in a small town in Central California. Every week, he and his wife would bring produce into town. And this story was actually written by a bystander who witnessed the kind actions this man did to some of the young boys who would come to his produce stand. These young boys didn't have a very good life, and they were very hungry and poor. And these boys would come to the produce stand and look at some of his food he had for sale. Then that man would ask him if he could help them. And they would say that, "We don't have any money." And he would say, "Maybe you have something else that we could trade for food." Then the one boy especially would say, "Well, he has a marble. He has a very nice marble." So the man would look at the marble that he had, and he said, "Well, he didn't really like the color of that marble." And he would ask if he had a red marble. He said, "Why, he does at home." And then the man said, "Well, you bring that red marble to me next week and take this food." Anyhow, he played this little game with these poor boys till they got through. And this person that wrote this story noticed that a number of years later there was a funeral for this man. He passed away. And all these young boys that were there were at his funeral. They were there to honor him. They were, excuse me, they turned out to be all good Christian men. And those were just simple little acts of kindness, little game that he played with these boys. But it carried on, and it brought them to the Lord. So now looking for it, this continues on, and he was known for many years this happened like this. But looking a little bit about using kind words versus kind actions, I would caution us not to depend too heavily on our words to express kindness. I'm not saying that we shouldn't say kind words. I think we should say kind words. But I guess I'll just skip ahead to say it more like this. You know, in my own life, my own experience, I have written down words, emails, texting, or a lot of different ways. And I read them, and I thought they sounded fine, but I sent them off, and it didn't always work out the best. So maybe it's I need to be face-to-face with people. Maybe that's better. But I think we should be careful what we write in our texting, in our emailing, in our Facebook, whatever. You know, there's a lot of unkind things that can be said that weren't meant to be unkind, but they're taken unkindly. And I just think that we should be careful with those, in that our actions can do a lot better, or face-to-face can do better sometimes, especially if it's a crucial message. If it's a message that you need to be kind, consider how you share that message. I want to be sure that the words of kindness are very important, and much encouragement can be given when we share words of kindness. And a thing that helps me, or I think that we should ask ourselves when we speak kindness to other people, is it something that we want to say because we genuinely care for that person, or is it because we just want to get back, or do we really care for that person that we want to say these words? Genuine kindness comes from someone who, you know, we love, or that love someone, that we care for their soul and their well-being. So in summary of all that I said this morning, I think the most important thing for us to take with us is Christians are supposed to love each other. And kindness is love in action towards our families, towards our church brothers and sisters, and also to the people who are around us in the world. And it would be a good encouragement to our church if the community around us would be attracted to our faith, because we are like the early Christians, what they were accused of, that we share kindness toward our community in such a way that it is like offering cake to children. But the important part is that we show our community much love by first showing love and kindness toward our family and our church first. Kindness in strong action in the church reaches out to community in a much greater way if there were just like say we had two families in our whole church that were really they were really working hard to reach the community. They were out there every week reaching the community, and the rest of us were here, but we didn't really care for each other. We're glad we're all together and we have church together and all that, but we don't really care that much. You know, that testimony is not that great, I don't believe. But where there is a church that we love each other in the church and are kind towards each other in the church and in our personal families above all else, that shines out into our community way more than our little efforts that we try to put out. And I'm not wanting to say those are bad, those are good, but I think above all else, the love we have for each other and the kindness we show to each other among our own people and our families is a stronger light that shines out there much better than an effort that I can do on my own. You know, the church is full of walls of disagreement. You look around, it doesn't take you long to find it. Even in our own church, we have disagreements, and in which many of those disagreements are totally pointless. But even if the wall is there for a good reason, we should not treat the people unkind because we don't agree. There are many times when we quit associating on the same level that we do with our own church members, but we still treat each other with kindness. And I just, puts it stronger in my own heart, I have an aunt and uncle that don't live here. And they are from a very conservative setting. And I know that the way they view church, the way I view church, is not the same. We would not agree. But I've had a couple experiences with them in the near or recent past, and I just noticed that their kindness speaks a lot to my life. I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, we stopped in to see them, our family, and the hospitality that they showed us was amazing. And you know, we just felt in our family, we felt so we felt loved and cared for, even if we knew that we wouldn't agree on a church level. And then recently we had this reunion, and they were here. And the first night of the reunion, Judy wasn't there. She had she was sick. And so the next morning when she came, they met her, and they said, "Well, you need some coffee." And he goes in and gets her some coffee. And, you know, it wasn't like they were trying to be different than what they really are. I think that it was coming from their heart. Those things speak. And if anything will persuade the unbeliever to repent or help the backslider to come back, kindness will. Kindness will bring them back sooner than anything else that I know of. The Holy Spirit is more powerful to work with humility and kindness. And kindness, again, I want to say, is oil that keeps the church running smoothly. And kindness in the church makes the love of Jesus reach out into the world in a much greater way. So I hope that you can be encouraged by that this morning, and to be encouraged that to remember that kindness is something that we do regardless how we feel. It's part of being a Christian. It's part of being Christ-like. We need to be kind. That is what it is to show the love of Jesus to all the people around us, and especially the people that are closest to us. I believe that's all I have to share. Maybe we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you for this day, and thank you for your kindness to us and how you love us so much and care for us, and you have saved us from our iniquities, and you shed your blood for us. And Lord, we just pray that you would always help us to remember to share that love and kindness to people around us. And pray that this message, Lord, would reign in our hearts and lives. Thank you again for what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.